completely ended the whole entire month of June, and we're working towards July. And some of us are hopeful that maybe we will have completed our work before the 4th. We're in work session on House Bill 3214. And Hirsch, would you come forward?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, I'm Hirsch Crawford, the administrator of the Office of Medical Assistance Programs. House Bill 3214 provides funding to pay for treatment for women who are diagnosed with breast and cervical cancer, who are screened through a program operated by the Health Division using Title 15 CDC funds. These women are sometimes referred to as Tier 1 women, and their care would be covered under the medical assistance programs if House Bill 3214 is passed. They are under the age of 65, have been diagnosed with breast or cervical cancer, are otherwise uninsured, have no credible health coverage, don't have a way to pay for their health care coverage. And as I said, they have been screened using Title 15 funds through the Breast and Cervical Cancer Program operated by the Health Division, and those are referred to as Tier 1 women, and those are the people who would be covered under House Bill 3214.
Are there any questions? Mr. Britton.
Madam Chair and members, the cost is estimated by the Office of Medical Assistance Programs to be $323,736 general fund. That would be matched at an enhanced Medicaid rate, which matches our CHIP rate of, I believe, 72% to 28%. 72% federal, 28% general. When you're ready, Madam Chair, I have two amendments to conceptual amendments to recommend to the committee. You ready?
We're ready.
Okay. The first is on page 2 of the Act, line 27. The dollar amount that would be put in on line 27 would be $323,736. And on the prior line, line 26, after the Department of Human Services, for medical assistance programs, that phrase would be added. That designates a particular kind of program within the department that would receive these funds. One more thing is that the federal funds limitation of $813,730, give or take, could be added in a rebalance. So it is not in this particular bill, but it doesn't need to be.
President Patridge.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I'd move the conceptual amendments as presented by LFO to House Bill 3214.
Reverend Patridge moves the conceptual amendments as outlined by LFO to House Bill 3214. Is there any objection, any discussion? Senator Yee.
Madam Chair, I'm sorry I came in a little late. What is the conceptual amendment?
There are two phrases on page 2 of House Bill 3214 on line 26, following the Department of Human Services, to add the phrase for medical assistance programs. That designates a particular program within the department to receive the funds, and on line 27, where there is a blank for the dollar amount, to insert $323,736. Madam Chair and members, that is the general fund required for this program. Mm-hmm. There is another $800,000 of federal limitation that will be needed to be added in a rebound.
Any other questions, Cindy?
The federal funds does not have to be listed here.
Madam Chair and Senator Yee, that's correct. Doesn't have to be.
Mm-hmm. Is there any objection? Hearing none, approved. Representative Patridge.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move House Bill 3214 as amended by this committee to the full, or to the full Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. I like your hair today, by the way.
Out of the motion.
It's on the record.
Do you guys want to really vote on that motion, whether you like her hair or not? I don't think that's a good thing to vote.
Are you talking to me?
I have a little fun.
Without the editorial comments on my hair, House Bill, Reverend Patridge moves House Bill 3214 as amended to full Ways and Means with the due pass recommendation. Representative Carlson.
Madam Chair, I just wanted to thank Representative Patridge and Chair Winters for bringing this forward, and it's such a critical issue. I have a letter in my file that I signed, and I know other women in the House side signed to move this forward. It's been a very high priority of ours, and I think this is just a very excellent bill, and I'm appreciative of the work that's gone forward to make this happen.
Representative Patridge.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I'd like to thank you, even though I didn't get invited to the party where all the women decided this would be a priority bill, even though it is my bill, and I signed the letter. So I did pay you a compliment on your hair, so maybe next time I'll get invited to the party with all the House women. But
I think they're trying to say I had a party. Is there any objection? Hearing none, approved. And I do want to thank Representative Patridge for being the sponsor of this bill, and it is a very, very necessary bill, and, you know, breast and cervical cancer is of a concern to, I think, not only women but also men, and so we're just really pleased that we're able to move this out to full Ways and Means, and hopefully the full chamber will be as enthusiastic about it as we are. Carrier will have to full package on the floor, of course. And okay.
Representative Schrader can still sign on to this bill to show him he's a little sensitive, a little more sensitive.
My wife told me I better.
Would you like to sign on?
Absolutely.
And I'll sign it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Already?
No,
already.
We all want to sign on to the
bill. I am one of the sponsors.
He's one of the sponsors.
You're one of the sponsors already.
Yeah, he's already sponsored. Oh, okay.
Is it time to request to sign on? Or
you have to send it to sign on to the bill. You have to put it on your letterhead to the clerk of the House or the or the what, the Secretary of the Senate.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Welcome, Peggy.
Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee,
now opening the work session on Senate Bill 5527, Department of Human Services Budget Bill.
Madam Chair, the co-chairs have referred the Senate Bill 5527 back to the subcommittee, so a motion would be in order to reconsider your vote of January 23rd.
I would so move, Madam Chair.
Senator Duncan moved to reconsider our vote of
January 23rd.
January
23rd. Excuse me.
June 23rd, 2001.
You probably didn't. Mm-hmm.
Madam Chair, we have a very few amendments to propose, and they're outlined in the memo, and then there are spreadsheets on the back that provide the detail. One of the amendments is not necessarily to the Adult and Family Services budget, because that doesn't change, but the co-chairs have recommended that the subcommittee provide a special appropriation to the emergency board of $4.3 million to address potential caseload issues in the Adult and Family Services Division.
You want all of them, or would you like to make them one at a time?
That's up to you.
Reverend Schrader.
enacting the easygoing, genial, mediative sort of person I am, I would like to move that we approve the Adult Family Services Division change that adds $4,300,000 in special appropriations to the emergency board to address potential caseload issues. Not sure that is a reduction to the budget.
And is there any objection? The chair likes your amenable, very thoughtful, and very congenial attitude.
I want to give him a hug.
if there's no objection...
I'm a Democrat, but a little bit. Huh?
If there's no objection, this one is approved.
The next item on the agenda affects the budget of the Office of Alcohol and Drug Abuse Programs, and this is simply something that, because we are coming back, it's convenient to do, and that's to increase the lottery funds expenditure limitation for the gambling addiction program by $150,000, yes, which simply reflects a revised revenue estimate.
Madam Chair.
Representative Carlson.
I would move the proposal to increase the lottery funds expenditure limitation by $150,000.
Representative Carlson moves the recommendation that we increase the lottery fund expenditure limitation for gambling addiction program by $150,000 to reflect updated revenue estimates for the Office of Alcohol and Drug Abuse Programs. Is there any objection? Hearing none, approved.
There are three issues in the Health Division. One is a technical correction that reduces the general fund expenditure limitation in the Health Division by $1,152,981 because due to a formula error that was double calculated when that was added back to the budget. So,
Representative Schrader.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to reduce the general fund expenditure in the Health Division budget by $1,152,981 to correct the double accounting for the restoration of funding for the Safe Drinking Water Program.
Representative Schrader moves the reduction of general fund expenditure limitation by $1,152,981 to correct double counting the restoration of funding for the Safe Drinking Water Program.
Question for Peggy. Is this money already appropriated to the Economic Development Department for the primacy program for health drinking water?
No, Madam Chair, Senator Yee, it is not.
So why is it double counting?
It's double counting only because this was a reduction that was added back when we had the last work session,
mm-hmm,
and inadvertently it was doubled when it was added back. And so this is just a technical correction to correct an error.
Oh, you added it twice.
Yeah, well, I'll take the credit for it, even though I didn't do it. It was added back. But I probably would have if I'd been doing it.
How does our staff work back in? That's the only error that they make, and I think they're doing an outstanding job.
They are.
Is there any objection? Adopted.
The next item is a Health Division item that restores $17,500,000 for tobacco prevention programs.
Madam Chair?
Go ahead, Peggy. There is a, if you will flip, you will see there is a proposed budget note that is attached to this item.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, Madam Chair, the budget note has to do with increase in accountability.
I will read the budget note. The budget note, as a part of official duties, employees of the Department of Human Services may not lobby for passage of any anti-smoking ordinance.
Excuse me, what page?
It's on the flip side. DHS employees may provide local coalitions information on best practices for creating tobacco-free environments. The department may not require a local plan to advocate for local ordinance restricting the use of tobacco, nor can the department condition the approval of a local grant on such action. State funds, including tobacco tax and master tax tobacco settlement funds, may not be used to influence the outcome of any election our local ordinance adoption. Senator Yee.
Madam Chair, is there any requirement that they provide information on how they spend the money and what is the baseline data when they start and what is their goal at the end of 2 years in accomplishing the prevention goal?
Madam Chair and Senator Yee, there is no requirement in this particular proposal. That certainly is an ongoing issue in terms of discussion of performance measures and requirements of the agency, but in the motion to restore the funding, which is tied intricately to the adoption of the budget note, there is no additional proposal.
Madam Chair.
Essentially,
I think it will be very useful to have them provide information on what is the baseline data when they start in the beginning of the biennium and let us know at the end of the biennium how many people we have helped in the prevention of using tobacco, such as how many youth are using now and how much they have helped to reduce after 2 years of prevention.
Ms. Olson, aren't they currently required to provide us with that kind of information?
Madam Chair, yes, they are. There is some of that information currently in their performance measures, and the department does that on a routine basis during their budget presentation.
Madam Chair, I haven't seen any baseline data. What is it? The current status, and what is their goal at the end of 2 years?
Madam Chair, Senator Yee, I don't have that with me, but I'm sure that I can get it from the department, and the department can provide it for us as well.
The department is indicating, that they're indicating that, yes, they would get that baseline data to us, and would get the measurement as to where they're expected to be within 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Yes, after all, $17 million is a lot of money, and we expect a lot of improvement.
In addition, it would be helpful if you would get the categories of the use of those dollars that are already in statute. Is that fine? Okay. You want to adopt the budget note? I have a motion on, not the budget note yet, but I do have a motion on the 17.5. Doug?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I just want to make sure the language on the budget note, this is a concern that someone brought to me, if a health division or I guess a local someone is asked to provide information around an ordinance like this and come in and just give factual information, not trying to lobby, I want to make sure we're clear that this does not apply to that.
That is my understanding, that they can give information, but they are not to lobby.
Okay. Thank you.
Chair, did you want a motion?
I want a motion on the restoration of the tobacco tax fund.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Representative Schrader moves that we restore the tobacco tax funds in the amount of 17.5 to the Health Division's budget. Is there any objection? Adopted.
I'd like to move the proposed budget note that was outlined for the usage of the tobacco prevention dollars. As stated.
Representative Schrader moves the budget note as proposed by in the LFO document, as stated, and as discussed here, that the intentions of the dollars are to be used for prevention. Is there any objection? Hearing none. Adopted.
The next item is an item that would add $500,000 to the Health Division for fluoride programs.
Representative Schrader.
Isn't there already somebody in the budget for fluoride treatment? Is that correct?
Madam Chair, members of
the
committee, I'm not sure. I know that there have been requests in the past for a couple of million of dollars that would be the total fiscal impact of being able to provide grants to all communities. But the $500,000 that's here, I'm not sure exactly how that would be handled, but I assume it would be an assistance to communities that were interested in.
No, I just wanted to know if it was in addition to what was already in the co-chair. I'm sorry, my question was the co-chair's recommended budget.
This is it.
This is it.
Right, thank you. That's all I need to know. Madam Chair?
Representative Schrader.
Move that we increase the general fund appropriation by $500,000 for blowout programs. I'd like Representative Patridge to be the first person to use it, please.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Representative Schrader moves that we increase the general fund appropriation by $500,000 for fluoride programs to the Health Division's budget. Is there any objection, Representative Patridge?
I'd rather use the sealant program that Representative Schrader voted against.
You can tell that we have been in this building a lot longer than what we should have. Is there any objection? Adopted.
On the back side of the memo page, there are four issues related to the Office of Medical Assistance Programs. One would be a recommendation that you increase the general fund appropriation by $9.2 million and the federal funds expenditure limitation by 7.9 or almost 8, hard rounding problem there, to restore the reduction taken to assure cost neutrality and design of the Oregon Health Plan waiver. Reduce the special appropriation to the emergency board for caseload, waiver, and cost containment issues by a like amount. And this is with the assumption that as the agency goes forward, the co-chairs and the recommendation originally to remove this money and place it in the emergency board was occasioned by the fact that at the same time the department is going forward and planning of the request for a waiver that would cause them to expand their services. They are at the same time trying to struggle with an inability to cover the costs of the existing plan. And so there is, I believe, an understanding between legislative leadership and the executive branch and the governor that as they move forward in trying to contain their costs, they will look to their waiver and make sure that their waiver does not exacerbate the current cost containment issues. And so that's kind of a squishy way of saying don't go so far on the waiver that you exacerbate a problem of maintaining even the current system.
Yes, Representative Schrader.
Yes, Madam Chair. Just a comment first. I'd like to move this item. I thought LFO did a very good job in being proactive this session to save us some money, not only this session, but frankly in future sessions, and set a bit of a standard. But I also understand that as you go out for this waiver, that it may be appropriate not to tie anyone's hands and see how things fall out, so that it may actually be that the basic benefit package could be a little less or a little bit more than what we have done for this session. So in that interest, I'll move that we increase the general fund appropriation by $9,210,627 and the federal funds expenditure limitation by $7,950,088 to restore the reduction originally taken to assure cost neutrality in the design of an Oregon Health Plan waiver, and reduce the special appropriation to the emergency board for caseload, waiver, and cost containment issues at this point by $9,210,418.
Representative Schrader moves that we increase the general fund appropriation by $9,210,627 and that the federal funds expenditure limitation by $7,950,088 to restore the reduction taken to assure cost neutrality in the design of the Oregon Health Plan waiver. Reduce the special appropriation to the emergency board for caseload, waiver, and cost containment issues by $9,210,418. Is there any objection? Senator Yee.
Madam Chair, so does that mean it brings us to 81% of cost or 78% of cost? What are we,
Madam Chair,
percentage we are using now?
Madam Chair and Senator Yee, I don't think that there's an answer to that. I think that that the waiver is still being the outline of the waiver is still being worked on. This particular the original reduction was based on moving a presumed package that was about 78% of cost down to a presumed package. And when I say package, I mean not only the benefit itself, but the package of cost sharing, the whole thing, to about 71% of the cost. I don't think that the details of the waiver are yet fleshed out enough to know exactly what will happen there. I suspect however, that there will be, and we haven't got that bill down in Ways and Means yet, but I suspect that there would be some provisions in the bill that address the issue of not tying the hands of future legislatures in terms of extraordinary roll-up costs. But we'll have to see what that looks like when it gets down here. But I know that there are efforts to address that in House Bill 2519.
Madam Chair.
Representative Carlson.
Is this move dependent on House Bill 2519? So
this
revenue neutrality, I mean, is that why we put it in the e-board initially, or?
Putting it in the e-board initially was to hold it in a reserve that said, as you design a waiver, design one that is cost neutral out in the first full biennium of the waiver, which would be 2003-05.
Mm-hmm.
Putting it back in doesn't say don't do that. It simply says that there will be less of a carrot, I guess one would say, to do that, but more flexibility in the design of the waiver.
Is there any other questions or concerns? Any objection to adopting item number one? Hearing none. Approved.
The next, Madam Chair, the next recommendation is that you reduce the general fund in the OMAP budget by $1,019,850, which is the amount in the base budget that is carried forward for safety net clinics. Then we propose that you take that money and add to it another $1,180,150 for a total of $2.2 million and make a special appropriation to the emergency board for safety net clinics. And the agency then would return to the emergency board to seek that money, but with a plan on how it would be distributed. And they would focus that plan. The direction now is not to tell them distinctly who to give the money to, but clearly the focus would be to examine those safety net clinics that are not going to benefit from the recent full reimbursement of cost that many or most of the safety net clinics will realize for their Medicaid patients.
Representative Carlson.
Well, Madam Chair, just to clarify, we have a couple clinics, West Salem Clinic and I think Salute up in Woodburn, that are not reimbursed by the federal money. So how would this help them?
That would be a decision that they would be kept in mind. There are both rural health clinics and federally qualified health centers that will benefit, but there are obviously clinics that will not benefit. And so if the state is providing additional safety net money on top, one would want to look at those clinics and see what their need is. However, this budget note does not say that this money distinctly has to go only to those clinics, because there may be clinics, for example, rural health clinics, that are going to receive full reimbursement, that is full reimbursement for their Medicaid patients only, and one would want to look at what their full book of business is and then make decisions on that basis. But this, clearly there are clinics out there that won't benefit at all from that.
Well, Madam Chair, if I understand it, the two clinics that I mentioned are exactly in the situation that you just described, and they're rural clinics, but they're in Woodburn, and I mean, they are in Marion County, and so this probably then would be something that would benefit them, because there would be a look at how it affects all of the different populations and not just the Medicaid clients. Is that accurate? Okay.
Person Schrader, do you have a comment?
Yeah, I was going to say.
I need a motion. Representative Patridge.
Madam Chair, I'd move LFO's number two recommendation regarding safety net clinics as written.
Representative Patridge moves that we approve item number two, the general fund appropriation for safety net clinics by $1,019,850, and that we use that amount plus another amount of $1,180,150, which brings the total to $2,200,000 for special purpose appropriation to the Emergency Board for Safety Clinics, and all the language thereafter. Is there any objection? Hearing none. Adopted.
Madam Chair, the next proposal relates to one of the drug cost containment issues in, that was recommended by Muse and Associates, this one in particular that deals with the 15 or more different prescriptions within a six-month period, where there was going to be, in effect, prior authorization. I know some people say, well, it isn't prior authorization, it's prospective drug utilization or review. But OMAP already has that program in place, and in effect, when you cut off a drug at the 16th prescription, then you are doing some action that, in effect, is prior authorizing, moving, going on to the next step. There was a great deal of concern on the part of the governor and the agency, that particularly the governor, I guess, that this was not achievable, and so what the recommendation is that these savings would not be achievable. So what the recommendation is that the savings associated with that item be appropriated to the Emergency Board as a contingency in the event that these savings are not realized. It should clarify that, and of course this is added, there are already $3 million still left after we remove the nine. You removed the nine earlier on. There were $12.2 million in, so there are still $3 million in the from the prior work session that would go to the Emergency Board for drug cost containment and caseload issues. So if you add this 3.7 to that, you have a total of $6.7 million in the Emergency Board for contingency for those issues. But clarify, however, that by restoring this money and not restoring it to the agency, that it still requires that the agency take the measures and not achieve the savings before they would come back and get the money. So it does leave the administrative costs in the budget so that the agency still would be going forward under this proposal and trying to achieve implement those measures to achieve the savings. So this money would be available to them only if those savings were not, in fact, achieved.
Representative Schrader.
Okay, Senator Hartman.
Oh, Senator Hartman.
Right, Madam Chairman, I don't remember much discussion about how we determine prescription savings. Are we comfortable with the idea that we do have a way to determine the savings when they occur, or what is the process, procedure to do that?
Thank you.
Madam Chair and Senator Hartung, I couldn't begin to explain all the processes by which one would do that. But in this particular case, you are, under this proposal, one would be identifying particular individuals that you would be identifying as, and so I would think that in that particular case you would have a much easier time of making a comparison, because you would be making a comparison about savings related to a particular individual rather than to the overall program. But I couldn't begin to tell you exactly how that's going to happen. The agency is here, they might be able to give you an idea, but clearly you identify a particular individual, you know what their costs are because you've identified them in the prescription drug Medicaid database, and then you would know whether their prescription costs changed mm-hmm. and were lowered. Mm-hmm. And you would also know why their costs are as high as they are. I think the area that makes the some apprehensive about the ability to achieve the savings is that there were varying degrees of assumptions on how much savings you would get from identifying these people. For example, Mr. Muse and the Muse's associates assumed, and I think personally aggressively, that 50% that of those people that were identified, you would save 50% on their drug costs. And they, not only on those costs that were 16 and above, but on all of their drug costs. And I think that it might be presumptuous to assume that everyone that is taking 16 medications, 15 or more medications in a six-month period is abusing those or doctor shopping or whatever. It could very well be that most of those people are very ill and they are taking those medications for good reasons. And that's the risk that's here.
Follow-up. Does this have anything to do with the cost of prescription drugs for our prison inmate population?
No.
10,000?
No, it has not.
Where is the opportunity to see if there's some opportunity for saving? Where does that occur? In DOC or?
What this does is say that when a patient or a health plan client receives a prescription, and it is the 16th mm-hmm. prescription that they are receiving within a mm-hmm. different medication,
right.
the same medication, that there would be a hard edit or a stop, and the 16th would not go forward until there was a review to determine okay. why is this person on so many medications, and to determine whether it was, in fact, an appropriate kind and degree of medication for this. And
okay.
the savings that are projected are from assuming that it is not in many cases.
Okay, I understand what you're saying. I'm not comfortable with the answer. I wish Doc Bates was here. But I know, and I've heard him say, you know, a person that takes 10 different drugs gets to a point where he has to take another drug to overcome the reaction of the drug he's been taking. And I think we had the story of an individual on 22 different prescription drugs. So, anyway, it seems to me we have an opportunity for a lot of good work there to, personally, one, take care of the patient, but also to cut the drug costs. Yeah.
And Madam Chair, I'm sure that the agency, if this goes forward all the way through the process and they implement this, I'm sure that they will not be shy about letting the emergency board know if it's not working.
And I too wish that Dr. Bates was here.
Right, and you know this.
He doesn't. He's going to his daughter's wedding.
But you know, there's so much interest in the formulary before we get out of here. And, you know, to me, this is tied in a certain way. So I do hope that, you know, we'll get reports back to the e-board on how this is working. You know, if we don't have any formulary, maybe there's some opportunities here to make the kind of savings that we would expect a formulary to do.
Did we get a motion on that? Is there any other questions? Representative Schrader.
I move that we provide a $3,694,234 special purpose appropriation to the emergency board as a contingency for unrealized prescription drug savings.
Representative Schrader moves that we provide a $3,694,234 special purpose appropriation to the emergency board as a contingency for unrealized prescription drug savings added to the $3,576 already appropriated to the emergency board. It brings the total amount for cost containment and caseload issues to $6,700,000. Is there any objection? If not, it is adopted.
And the last OMAP item is on, I don't have the page numbers, but if you look on the spreadsheet that deals with the Office of Medical Assistance Programs, on the bottom there is a budget note, and this addresses some concerns and associated with switching so much general fund money out of this agency, and in effect backfilling that with tobacco settlement funds. There was a similar budget note placed in the budget of the Oregon Health Sciences University, where a great deal, a large portion of their budget also was offset with non-general fund dollars. And the budget note is that the state support for Oregon Health Plan Medicaid program is not dependent upon the funds provided in Senate Bill 5527 from the Tobacco Settlement Fund account. And I do not have spell account, but obviously didn't punch the right button there. It is intended that state support for the Oregon Health Plan Medicaid program will be derived from other state resources in the event that tobacco settlement revenues are insufficient to maintain the funding level provided in this bill from the Tobacco Settlement Fund account.
Representative Schrader.
I'd like to move the proposed budget note as just explained by LFO.
Representative Schrader moves that we adopt the proposed budget note as explained by LFO and with the correction of account. Is there any objection? Hearing none, we will make the correction of adding the C. Adopted.
And then, Madam Chair and members, if you'll turn to the very back page of your handout, there's a summary of the total budget as revised, and also a summary of the emergency, the appropriations that you've voted on so far that go to the emergency board. Those first two were voted on previously. You see the 8.9 that you voted on today and the 4.3 that you voted on today. So the total appropriations to the emergency board for various reasons is $32.7 million. And then the back page here summarizes the budget numbers as revised by the actions that you've taken today so that you have a general fund budget for the agency of just under $2.5 billion. A lottery funds of just over $7.1 million, tobacco tax and combined tobacco tax and tobacco settlement funds of $345.5 million, other funds of $652.6 million, federal funds of $4,349.8 million, non-limited funds consisting of the food stamps and the WIC, children's Women and Children's Nutritional Program is $642 million and a total budget of $8,496 million with 8,869.23 FTE.
Representative Schrader.
I'd like to move Senate Bill 5527 to the full committee as revised here at this session, with general fund of $2,499,024,746 general fund, $7,145,478 lottery funds, $345,483,192 tobacco tax settlement dollars, $652,635,916 other funds, $4,349,830,109 federal funds, $641,994,138 non-limited funds, $8,496,113,579 total funds, 9,277 positions, and 8,869.23 FTE, and appropriate to the emergency board $32,689,324 for the purposes as outlined before.
Representative Schrader moves the Senate Bill 5527 as revised in the amount of $2,499,024,746 general fund, $7,145,478 lottery funds, $345,483,192 tobacco settlement and funds, and other funds in the amount of $652,635,916, federal funds in the amount of $4,349,830,109 federal funds, non-limited funds in the amount of $641,994,138, with a total fund of $8,496,113,579, positions of 9,277, FTE 8,869.23, with an appropriation to the emergency board in the amount of $32,689,324. Is there any objection? I learned how to say billion. Hearing none, it is approved. Senator Duncan. Yes.
Right. And Senator
Yee will assist.
Assist during the question and answer period.
Yes. The Chronological Advantage Group will work out their.
We'll wake up Senator Hartung when we need him.
Yes. Yes.
I have questions on ASS, alcohol and drug, mental health, and OMAP.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Very good. And I think we have another issue.
You had one up?
Mr.
I think you were going to raise some issues about Senate Bill 288.
About Senate Bill 288.
Yeah.
Go ahead, please.
Well, Madam Chair, I would just...
It's not on the agenda, so it's informational only.
Right.
I'm closing the work session on Senate Bill 5527, and this is an informational only meeting on Senate Bill 288.
And I would just, Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee, remind you that at the subcommittee last Saturday, you did approve the plan to... distribute the $1.1 million, to establish a self-insured pool for the $1.1 million and then distribute the balance of that to the providers. This has to do with Senate Bill 288 from the last session with regards to the rehabilitation facilities and the workers' comp issue.
And there have been, and so I would put on the record some concerns that were raised, and one of the concerns was whether by starting the group self-insured plan, if those self-insured plans are complicated, is the business plan feasible? And it has to do with the work study group and who was involved in that group. It also has to do with who will administer the group self-insurance plan and how many members will be involved in the group self-insurance plan. And would the $1.1 million be sufficient startup funds for self-insurance plan? And are the participants aware that in a self-insurance plan, any claims will be shared by all participants? When most organizations commit to joining the group self-insurance plan, when will most organizations commit to joining the group self-insurance plan? And in the event that not enough organizations join the self-insurance program to make it viable, what will happen to the money? There have been a couple of meetings, and so after having a meeting today, this was the request of having this information put it into the record. So with that, I don't know when we're going to convene again. You have been wonderful. Just continue to stay very flexible. And I know you get a couple more members back on
you're going to do
tomorrow.
I think the only budget you have left to do is the Commission on Children and Families.
Yes. With that, we are adjourned.